Today on Real Radio.
God doesn't accept, nor did he ever say, I'll accept water baptism as an addition to or a means of salvation. Today, the person who is to be baptized is the person who is aware of their need of Jesus, aware that they are sinners.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. A key step in receiving salvation is recognizing what's often called the sin problem. That is, that we have a sin nature and we're incapable of not sinning. Which is exactly why pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs emphasizes repentance in this lesson he calls, You Need to Know All About Your Salvation.
God doesn't say, hey, Jack, take a pill, and this will take this sin out of your life. Oh, no. At my age with Jesus and walking with him, here's the deal. When God says, okay, Jack, now we're going to work on something else, it's like, Lord, I was just looking in the mirror. I think I'm okay. No, Jack, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm going to rip your spiritual guts so wide open. I'm going to turn you inside out. Because we took care of all these other things, but now we're going for the big stuff. And the big stuff's hidden behind that discombobulator and this thing over here, and I'm going to pull it out. And this is a deep, long-time-seated feeling, emotion world that you've had over here, and I want it done because you know what? I'm getting you ready for heaven. And it's time now we shine light on this area of your life. Let me tell you, those are very lonely, very, very bloody times. And I wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China. It's part of being his kid. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John 1, 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we've got sin in our lives, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have, church, what? Fellowship, one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, notice it's sins. Not confess Jesus as Lord, you already did that as a believer. To confess our sins. Hey, listen up, don't miss this. Confess your sin or sins the moment you're aware of them. No, Pastor, I live a busy life. That's why when I get home, I confess my sins kneeling down alongside my bed. You're going to have a horrible day. Do it in the moment. Keep the line of communication. Keep the conduit between you and God open, wide open at all times. If God speaks to you and says, you shouldn't have had that motive, you shouldn't have that attitude, you shouldn't have been that, you shouldn't have said that to him or her, deal with it right then and there, on the spot. So by the time you get to your bed, your slate's clean. You can jump into bed and say, Lord, what a great day we've had. Do you know that? Yeah. Based on what? Based on if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can't live any more happy than that. Don't store them up. Well, I'd like to confess my sins to God in bundles. Don't do that. Now, here's one. I hope today, a pastor told me last service, one of our pastors, he was in for a service, and he said, you know what, I think when you read that verse, in some people's lives, gates were opened up and birds flew free. They were free for the first time. You need to hear this. In the context of the believer who's saved and going to heaven, Mark 11:25 has gotten people so upset and so messed up that they just are so defeated, and it's the exact opposite. God is speaking to his people. Listen, Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that whose Father? Your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Do you know how people know that verse? They've been sold a bill of goods. Oh my goodness. That's how I have my salvation and then I lose it. And then I get it back and then I lose it. That's not what it means. God says, you're my kid. You just offended one of my kids, which is one of your brothers or sisters. Don't come to the worship service and say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God says, just shut up and get out of here. Did you know that? Oh, not to condemn you. He says, sock in it, shut it. Get out of here. Go over to your friend and tell them, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And then you come back and worship, and God says, now let's get this show on the road. It's a fellowship verse. Many of you have been burdened by condemnation with that verse. Oh my goodness, I'm saved and I'm lost. I'm lost and I'm saved. No, you're not. It's a verse that challenges you. God wants you to have peace with your neighbors and to have fellowship and relationship with God. Isn't it beautiful that God is so loving and caring that he says, keep your nose clean with your friends and family and people around your life so that you and I can have a good relationship and all will go well. Well, you might ask, how many times though in life then do I forgive someone? Remember Peter did that to Jesus? Jesus is saying, forgive one another. You can just see Peter. He's thinking like, you gotta love him. He's just like, excuse me, Jesus, I have a question, comment. And he's probably like, Andrew, listen to this, watch this. If somebody sins against me, like, do I forgive him 7 times? I mean, that's something, 7 times. Who would have ever? And Jesus looks at him and says, no, 70 times 7. If you're Jewish, it's like, yikes, 490? That's a key number to the Jewish people. 490? That's the forgiveness of God. 490? You mean an infinite? That's what the word means for them. Infinite amount? That's right. So even in your own life, if you blow it, how often can you go back to God and ask him to forgive you? Infinite amount of times. But I'm speaking to the Christian. The Christian hates his sin, remember. If you're here today, oh, this is cool. I'm going to be a Christian. Sin up a storm. Ask God to forgive me. That's not Christianity. You cannot tap out the grace of God's well of forgiveness. His grace is limitless. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. Second thing, and we'll have to do these next 2 points quick, and I will. The next one is understanding water baptism. Regarding the doctrine of salvation, I've been told that I must be baptized in water to be saved. I know you have, but that's not in the Bible. Water baptism is no doubt a holy and wonderful sacrament or act of obedience to God. But listen, some have unjustifiably equated it to, or wrongfully related it to, circumcision. In the Old Testament, Jewish boys were circumcised at the age of 8 days old. Why? Because it was a sign of being in the family, the Abraham family, the family of Abraham. It was an outward cutting away of dead skin, has no feeling, and it's a symbol. Listen, the Bible even tells us in Deuteronomy and in Jeremiah. It is a symbol of cutting away skin that has no feeling so that you will have feeling because you are commissioned to or you are dedicated to God, the Abrahamic covenant. Now listen, Jews are circumcised, but are they saved? Nicodemus would have been circumcised, but he came to Jesus unsaved. If circumcision saves you, then why did millions of them die in the wilderness? You see, the New Testament equivalent to circumcision is water baptism. To a degree, an 8-day-old child has no knowledge of sin. And it's not their choice. Nobody would sign up for that. On the other hand, baptism's crystal clear. Baptism is to take place after you confess faith in Jesus Christ, having repented of your sins. Repented of your view of Christ. You're now born again. Then you're baptized. Watch. Why? It's a public display of an internal commitment. If you're trusting water baptism like a Jew today trusts circumcision to get to heaven, you're going to be terribly disappointed forever. God doesn't accept, nor did he ever say, I'll accept water baptism as an addition to or a means of salvation. Today, the person who is to be baptized is the person who is aware of their need of Jesus, aware that they are sinners, that they've accepted Christ. And so, listen, don't miss this. Their first act of public display of obedience to Christ is water baptism. You don't ever want to baptize somebody and tell them, oh, it's okay, you don't need to go to church, or you don't need to accept Jesus, you were baptized. That is a false gospel. That's a gospel that kills people and damns them, quite frankly. Well, I was baptized as an infant. Where'd you get that from? Now, look, if you can repent of your sins at 6 months of age, that's pretty amazing. If you at 6 months of age can say, I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, I changed my mind about my previous view. You see, that's what you have to say. No, baptism of children, they lean upon the circumcision covenant in the Old Testament. They translate that into the New, and by doing so, false doctrine has condemned millions. Water baptism cannot save you, but it is a wonderful act, there's no doubt about it. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, you know it. Jesus said, he came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. How do you make a disciple? You preach the gospel. What's the gospel? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? Then look, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. What do you do when someone is confessing faith in Christ? Then you baptize them in water. They come up out of the water. What do you do with them? You teach them. You teach them the word of God to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Simple but powerful. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16 says, listen to this, Deuteronomy 10, 16. Now, this has always been in the Jewish scriptures for 3,000, 4,000 years. Listen to it. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. You write that verse down right in your margins because I'm going to give you the New Testament equivalent to that. But this is in the Old Testament. You and I know sweet people who are trusting that they're going to go to heaven because they've been circumcised, and that verse is in their scriptures, and they refuse to obey it. They refuse to listen to it. God is not talking about having your skin trimmed. He's talking about your heart cut. Colossians 2:11, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, without human hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. Notice the symbolism. You were not buried with him in the grave 2,000 years ago. You were buried with him symbolically in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When we baptized you in the ocean and brought you up out of the water, it was an act, a symbolic act of you, your old life being buried with Jesus in a grave, and your new life living for God. And the whole Newport Beach saw that, right? It was a public display of an internal change of heart. And so many of you have been lied to. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you believe. Just get baptized. Just step through this thing in, you know, 1, 2, 3. Okay, out. Next. God says he hates that. Baptism is worthless without repentance. In Matthew 3, verse 7, John the Baptist is baptizing at the Jordan. John the Baptist. Jesus said, no greater man has ever been born of a womb. A woman has never given birth to a greater man And John's the greatest in the kingdom. Did you know John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament? Verse 7, it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, he's so subtle. Clearly, he didn't take church growth procedures or methods seriously down there at the seminary. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. John, can you pipe it down? Those dudes are rich, man, and a lot of people follow them. Those are the kind of guys we want in the church. We can get new carpet if we have those guys. John says, you bunch of snakes, get out of here. Unless you come back and show proof that you have repented, then you get baptized. Do you see the order? And then here's the clincher before we close with this final. It's 1 Corinthians 1:14. If some of you are having a hard time with this, then how do you deal with this one? 1 Corinthians 1:14, Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except, you could almost see him, except, let me think a minute, Gaius, Crispus, Gaius, at least anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. Let me think. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I don't know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Booyah. Think of that. You say, are you saying we don't get baptized? No. Listen, let's get baptized. If you've not been baptized, let's get baptized. But you've got to be born again first. You need to change your opinion about who Jesus Christ is and agree with God. That's what you got to do. And then I bring him up every week, but he's so good. The thief on the cross, Jesus said, you're going to be with me. And the guy was never baptized. Well, you know, there's a strange fragment of manuscript that's been found that says someone put him in a doughboy pool right before he died. No, didn't happen. Didn't happen. And then finally we end with this, which is something we'll pick up later on in some other day. But where do we begin? It's understanding personal holiness. Regarding salvation, what is this thing about holiness? Listen, I have liberty in Christ. What does that mean? I can do whatever I want. You've been deceived. You have liberty in Christ to not do what you want. Look at me. You're looking at me. You look at me? Are you looking at me? Okay, look at me. This is me, but you don't see me. There's all kinds of me's in here. Think of it. This needs to be brought under the control of Christ. Outside of Jesus, you can claim to be a Christian all you want, but is your life a life of personal unholiness? There's no scooting around this. God sees all. If your life is truly His, if you have experienced His salvation, you are delighted about this call of personal holiness. Well, what does it mean? Well, it means we all dress up in black and wear buns in our hair and drive around in buggies and make awesome furniture. No. Doesn't mean that. Personal holiness, I hope you never forget this. I'm going to try to look as goofy as possible to burn it into your mind. Jesus would come by, walking by, and Jesus would say, come and follow me. He wouldn't say it like that, but I'm trying to exaggerate right now. Come and follow me. And the Bible says that James and John left their nets, got up, and just followed. Can you imagine? They're like, Jesus says to Matthew, follow me. Matthew, imagine Matthew, all that money sitting around him in buckets. Matthew just gets up. It means to walk with Jesus. Let's stop getting so goofy about this personal holiness stuff. Oh, you know, I just have to go suck on lemons and sit in the corner and have a horribly boring life. And don't look, if you're going to do that, go just do that. Just go to some other church and do that. That's not personal holiness. Personal holiness is Jesus saying, come and follow me. And you follow him. Sarah, how can you say that? Because, listen, here's the truth. If you follow him, it's going to be an amazing ride. Amazing. You can't even plan it. Why mess it up? Let him do it. Every day, it'd be, well, I'm showing my age, it'd be an e-ticket. Do you remember that? The old e-tickets at Disneyland? It'd be a white knuckler. It's awesome. Okay? And when you just determine to walk with him, Lord, good morning, Jesus. Today is Sunday, and I want to live for you. I'm a total buffoon at making this happen, so I need you to totally conquer my mind because there's so many things that happen inside of me, I could crash and burn at any moment. So please, number one, not too concerned about Satan, you can deal with him, conquer me. Lord, I'm my worst enemy, so overrule me. I invite you to control my life today, Jesus. You don't do that, church, on Sundays. You don't do it every other day. You do it every moment. Amen. Every moment. You walk in the presence of God, someone has called it, or the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? To be so close to him. The last thing you want to do with somebody that you love is offend them or hurt them. Do you love anybody in your life? You don't want to hurt them. Think of it. You love them. And so as a Christian, listen, if you get off the path or stay on the path, this truth is true no matter what. As a Christian, whatever I look at, God is looking at it. Jesus is looking right at it. Whatever your eyes see, Jesus sees. Whatever your ears hear, Jesus hears it. So think about it. Oh, man. Lord, are you getting a good look at this? Oh, yeah, I am, Jack, because my spirit lives inside of you. You're born again. I won't stop working in your life until you're in heaven with me. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So I got a perfect view to this entire show. Oh, Lord, did you hear that? Yep, I don't miss a thing. Hey, I'm going to go over here. You want to go? He says, I'm going if I don't want to go or do go because I'm in you. Jesus is there. What do you think of that? Jesus is there. You don't pull up at something and you say, now, Lord, I'm about to backslide. You stay in the car. He's with you. Do you understand that? That is personal holiness. Saying, no, not going to do that. Not going to do that. It's not that you're so fantastic. It's that you love him. No, I don't think Jesus wants to see that. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's one in a mini-series that emphasizes repentance in the salvation process. You Need to Know All About Your Salvation is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Your Salvation on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. You know, just breaking the ice, wouldn't you agree? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you have the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show it to your friend. And if you don't have it, remember, it's a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend's already a believer, simply direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. So again, maybe in the next few days, tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And maybe even direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.